Senatsverwaltung für Bildung, Jugend und Wissenschaft in Berlin. Prüfung zum Erwerb des mittleren Schulabschlusses im Fach Englisch 2013. Ministerium für Bildung, Jugend und Sport im Land Brandenburg. Prüfungen am Ende der Jahrgangsstufe 10. Hörverstehen im Fach Englisch 2013. Für Schülerinnen und Schüler in Erweiterungskursen der Gesamtschulen sowie in B-Kursen und FOR-Klassen der Oberschulen. Welcome to your listening test. This test has got 4 parts. Please take your worksheets now. Listening Part 1. Voicemail messages. You are going to hear 2 voicemail messages. You will hear the recording twice. There are 4 questions in this part. 2 questions for each message. Look at the pictures and then listen to the recording. Choose the correct picture and put a tick in the right box. You now have time to read the questions and look at the pictures. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Hey, I know we said we would play tennis with June and Wai Lin tomorrow. Now, the thing is, June has got a cold and would rather stay at home. Wai Lin suggested bowling, but I'm not too keen on that, so how about swimming? Hope that's all right for you. If I don't hear from you again, we'll pick you up at around 3. Oh, and could you buy some drinks? Wai Lin and I will bring something to eat.
Hello, Andy's bike shop calling. We would like to let you know that the basket you ordered has arrived, but the helmet and the cycling shorts you also ordered will take at least another 5 weeks. If you want to pick up the basket, we are open Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 to 4, except for next Saturday, when we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary and will stay open until 6.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Hey, I know we said we would play tennis with June and Wai Lin tomorrow. Now, the thing is, June has got a cold and would rather stay at home. Wai Lin suggested bowling, but I'm not too keen on that, so how about swimming? Hope that's all right for you. If I don't hear from you again, we'll pick you up at around 3. Oh, and could you buy some drinks? Wai Lin and I will bring something to eat.
Hello, Andy's bike shop calling. We would like to let you know that the basket you ordered has arrived, but the helmet and the cycling shorts you also ordered will take at least another 5 weeks. If you want to pick up the basket, we are open Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 to 4, except for next Saturday, when we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary and will stay open until 6.
This is the end of listening part 1. Listening part 2. Radio ads. Please note, you do not need to understand every word to do this task. You are going to listen to 4 radio ads, ads 1 to 4. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. For each ad, choose the correct statement, A to C, and put a tick in the right box. There is only one correct statement for each ad. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Can dogs communicate? You be the judge.
Hi, Fifi. Nice day for a walk.
Yes, Fido. Great day to be outside with the family.
I have a personal question. How do you get your family to pick up after you? I point to the bag dispenser. They just don't get it.
Oh, it was easy. My family wanted a clean trail to be enjoyed by everyone. And the bags are free.
The moral of this story? Do your part. Pick up after your dog. Your pet and the Juno community will thank you.
This message was brought to you by the Grateful Dogs of Juno.
One cold winter day, a man called Brian was walking across a huge frozen lake when suddenly the ice started to crack.
What? The ice is cracking? Are you kidding me?
Luckily, Brian knew what to do from a book he read with his daughter. If he lay flat on the ice, everything would be okay.
That's not me! I never read that book!
Oh dear. The end. You see, if you read more, you'll learn more. For more information, go to familyliteracyday.ca.
Well, I guess my first tattoo is on my back.
Yeah, this is her second.
Yeah, it's a friendship tattoo.
Yeah, we got ours together. I have the same one.
Yeah, but don't worry, it's removable.
Removable? Wait, I thought we agreed to make them permanent.
Permanent? What? What kind of idiot gets a permanent tattoo?
Idiot? Who are you calling an idiot? We agreed that we were going to get tattoos together.
Hey, don't get hostile with me.
What do you mean, don't get hostile?
Hey, sugar, Tilly, I'm sick of it.
Is that a sticker on your stomach?
Hey, stupid, I'm not the dumb.
Remember, friendships end, but tattoos live on forever. This message brought to you by the Regretful Sailors of America and this radio station.
I'm in traffic. I won't make it to the meeting. PLS start without me. Now I am passing through an intersection on a red light. A bus will hit me and I will die crushed into the steering wheel. The rescue team will struggle to pull me out for 40 minutes. Sorry, that's it.
If you knew what's going to happen, would you still be writing SMSs while driving? Don't text and drive. A Bucharest City Police campaign.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Can dogs communicate? You be the judge.
Hi, Fifi. Nice day for a walk.
Yes, Fido. Great day to be outside with the family.
I have a personal question. How do you get your family to pick up after you? I point to the bag dispenser. They just don't get it.
Oh, it was easy. My family wanted a clean trail to be enjoyed by everyone. And the bags are free.
The moral of this story? Do your part. Pick up after your dog. Your pet and the Juno community will thank you.
This message was brought to you by the Grateful Dogs of Juno.
One cold winter day, a man called Brian was walking across a huge frozen lake when suddenly the ice started to crack.
What? The ice is cracking? Are you kidding me?
Luckily, Brian knew what to do from a book he read with his daughter. If he lay flat on the ice, everything would be okay.
That's not me! I never read that book!
Oh dear. The end. You see, if you read more, you'll learn more. For more information, go to familyliteracyday.ca.
Well, I guess my first tattoo is on my back.
Yeah, this is our second.
Yeah, it's a friendship tattoo.
Yeah, we got ours together. I have the same one.
Yeah, but don't worry, it's removable.
Removable? Wait, I thought we agreed to make them permanent.
Permanent? What? What kind of idiot gets a permanent tattoo?
Idiot? Who are you calling an idiot? We agreed that we were going to get tattoos together!
Hey, don't get hostile with me!
What do you mean, don't get hostile!
Hey, this sugar! Chile, I'm sick of
what
it!
Is that a sticker on your stomach?
Hey, stupid! I'm not the dummy.
Remember, friendships end, but tattoos live on forever. This message brought to you by the Regretful Sailors of America and this radio station.
I'm in traffic. I won't make it to the meeting. PLS start without me. Now I am passing through an intersection on a red light. A bus will hit me and I will die crushed into the steering wheel. The rescue team will struggle to pull me out for 40 minutes. Sorry, that's it.
If you knew what's going to happen, would you still be writing SMSs while driving? Don't text and drive. A Bucharest City Police campaign.
This is the end of Listening Part 2. Listening Part 3. Stonehenge. You are going to hear an audio tour. You will hear the recording twice. Read the 10 statements below first, then listen to the recording. If you think a statement is correct, put a tick in the box for yes. If you think a statement is not correct, put a tick in the box for no. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Stonehenge here in Wiltshire. In front of you, you can see the majestic standing stones of Stonehenge. These ancient stones fascinate each and every visitor, making this place one of the most famous tourist attractions in Britain. Walk around and you will get the feeling that this place is full of mystery and importance. Stonehenge was built between 3000 BC and 1600 BC, so it has been here for over 5,000 years and has been studied, examined, and measured. But the reason why it was built still remains one of the great mysteries of the world. Look up at those massive vertical stones. At 7.3 metres, they are almost twice the height of a double-decker bus. And look at those horizontal ones. They seem to be hanging in the air. But how did they get up there? The builders of Stonehenge were able to create this monument using only their muscles and very simple tools. Unfortunately, we know very little about these people because they left no written history. But a recent discovery of the skeleton of a Bronze Age teenage boy from the Mediterranean confirms one thing. Even long ago, people travelled great distances to visit this place. But wait, if we are quiet now, we might hear the boy talking to us. Look, up there in the sky.
Hello? Over here. More to the north. I am sitting here on a fluffy cloud in the grey skies over Salisbury Plain. Terrible weather today, but let me introduce myself. You people call me the boy with the amber necklace because of the amber beads I wear around my neck, a present I got from my father. You see, my father was a Bronze Age tradesman, and he got these in exchange for a beautiful, shiny ring. Anyway, I'm originally from the Mediterranean area, as you probably already know, because last year there was a report about me in every British newspaper. The boy with the amber necklace came from the Mediterranean. I must say, scientists today are very clever. You see, by doing an analysis of my teeth, what did they call it? Ah, yes, an isotope analysis. They knew right away that I wasn't a local. They also found out that I had lived in 1550 BC. Well done. Oh, it must be really cool for you people living in the information age. You sure have it much easier than I did back in the Bronze Age. Anyway, I travelled all the way here with my father because of the stories we had heard about Stonehenge. Everybody was talking about this wonderful monument where people came together to celebrate the sun and the moon, just like we did at home. You see, the special thing about Stonehenge is that there you can watch the rising and the setting of sun and moon through the arches at certain times of the year. An amazing sight. We went there to celebrate the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. There was a really wild party. We ate barbecued pigs, drank a lot of mead, you know, this wine made from honey, and smashed up a lot of pottery for good luck. Great fun. We sang and danced and praised the gods. We stayed up all night so we could see the sun appear early in the morning. A moment I will always remember. Another reason for coming here was that my father wanted me to see those wonderful magical blue stones, the ones over there in the middle. They were brought here from the Preseli Mountains in Wales, miles away from here. They must have been difficult to transport. Just think of the weight of them. Some people say that it was Merlin the magician who brought them here. These precious blue stones are supposed to heal sick people. Isn't that awesome? My father had a lot of health problems. He had warts on his face that he didn't like, and he suffered a lot from stomachache and backache. Not to mention the terrible headaches he got from drinking mead. through the mists of time, I hope I have cast some light on Stonehenge. Oh, sugar. It's starting to rain.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Stonehenge here in Wiltshire. In front of you, you can see the majestic standing stones of Stonehenge. These ancient stones fascinate each and every visitor, making this place one of the most famous tourist attractions in Britain. Walk around and you will get the feeling that this place is full of mystery and importance. Stonehenge was built between 3000 BC and 1600 BC, so it has been here for over 5,000 years and has been studied, examined and measured. But the reason why it was built still remains one of the great mysteries of the world. Look up at those massive vertical stones. At 7.3 metres, they are almost twice the height of a double-decker bus. And look at those horizontal ones. They seem to be hanging in the air. But how did they get up there? The builders of Stonehenge were able to create this monument using only their muscles and very simple tools. Unfortunately, we know very little about these people because they left no written history. But a recent discovery of the skeleton of a Bronze Age teenage boy from the Mediterranean confirms one thing. Even long ago, people travelled great distances to visit this place. But wait, if we are quiet now, we might hear the boy talking to us. Look, up there in the sky.
Hello? Over here! More to the north. I am sitting here on a fluffy cloud in the grey skies over Salisbury Plain. Terrible weather today, but let me introduce myself. You people call me the boy with the amber necklace because of the amber beads I wear around my neck, a present I got from my father. You see, my father was a Bronze Age tradesman, and he got these in exchange for a beautiful, shiny ring. Anyway, I'm originally from the Mediterranean area, as you probably already know, because last year there was a report about me in every British newspaper. The boy with the amber necklace came from the Mediterranean. I must say, scientists today are very clever. You see, by doing an analysis of my teeth, what did they call it? Ah, yes, an isotope analysis. They knew right away that I wasn't a local. They also found out that I had lived in 1550 BC. Well done. Oh, it must be really cool for you people living in the Information Age. You sure have it much easier than I did back in the Bronze Age. Anyway, I travelled all the way here with my father because of the stories we had heard about Stonehenge. Everybody was talking about this wonderful monument where people came together to celebrate the sun and the moon, just like we did at home. You see, the special thing about Stonehenge is that there you can watch the rising and the setting of sun and moon through the arches at certain times of the year. An amazing sight. We went there to celebrate the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. There was a really wild party. We ate barbecued pigs, drank a lot of mead, you know, this wine made from honey, and smashed up a lot of pottery for good luck. Great fun. We sang and danced and praised the gods. We stayed up all night so we could see the sun appear early in the morning, a moment I will always remember. Another reason for coming here was that my father wanted me to see those wonderful magical blue stones, the ones over there in the middle. They were brought here from the Preseli Mountains in Wales, miles away from here. They must have been difficult to transport. Just think of the weight of them. Some people say that it was Merlin the magician who brought them here. These precious blue stones are supposed to heal sick people. Isn't that awesome? My father had a lot of health problems. He had warts on his face that he didn't like, and he suffered a lot from stomachache and backache. Not to mention the terrible headaches he got from drinking mead. Through the mists of time, I hope I have cast some light on Stonehenge. Oh, sugar. It's starting to rain.
This is the end of Listening Part 3. Listening Part 4. Are we treating our dogs the way we should? You are going to hear a talk show about dogs. There are four people in the talk show. Madeline Shepherd, the presenter. Richard Cohen, a professor of psychology. Dr. Karen Walker, a vet. And Benjamin Bark, a journalist. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. Put a tick in the box next to the correct statement. Only one statement is correct in each case. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Americans have fallen in love with their dogs. We have dog walkers, dog groomers, dog parks, and dog-friendly hotels. We buy organic dog food and even dress up our dogs. In the U.S., the amount of money spent on pets has jumped from $17 billion to $43 billion over the last 15 years. The market is booming. Welcome to the Doggy Talk Show on IAAD Radio with your host, Madeline Shepherd. Are we treating our dogs the way we should? To discuss this question, I have in the studio with me today Richard Cohen, professor of psychology at the University of California and a best-selling author of a series of books on dog training. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I would also like to welcome Dr. Karen D. Walker, a veterinarian who runs her own pet clinic.
Nice to be here.
And a very warm welcome to Benjamin Bark, a freelance journalist who is researching why and how the role of dogs has changed.
Hello.
Mr. Bark, how did you become interested in this topic?
Well, a year ago, my wife and I got our dog Tucker from an animal shelter. We quickly found out that he always got very nervous whenever we left the house and would pee all over the place. Our vet explained that Tucker was suffering from something called separation anxiety. We were surprised to hear that dogs can actually have psychological problems, and we even ended up giving him a pill for that. My friends thought this was really ridiculous, and their reaction made me think about the way we treat our dogs.
As your example shows, the role of dogs in our society has obviously changed. This development is supported by a survey I did, which shows that half of the American pet owners now consider themselves to be pet parents rather than pet owners. A lot of these dog owners celebrate their dog's birthday, and 35% even refer to their dogs as son or daughter.
A dog as son or daughter? That reminds me of a website I came across the other day, which offers fancy dog dresses and, just imagine, even wedding dresses for dogs, called the Blushing Bride or Flower Girl dress. They even have accessories like sunglasses. I can't believe it. People who buy things like that for their dogs surely don't treat them like dogs anymore.
You're right. Many people really overdo it. But for some dogs, outfits in winter and in rain are actually important. There are dogs that stay inside heated apartments all day, and when they're outside in such weather conditions, they can easily catch a cold. But I don't think it's so much the dressing up that is harmful for the dogs, it's the way the dogs are treated otherwise. If they are not allowed to play with other dogs, to sniff and explore, that is what is harmful for them.
I agree. And let me add another very important aspect here. One real problem for the dog can be having no real leader. You see, in a dog's pack, every dog has their place. And when a dog lives with humans, the humans must become the dog's leaders. The mistake is made when the humans only give the dog love. Love without rules and limits is not what makes a dog well-balanced and happy. If a dog thinks it must take over the role of pack leader, it will not accept the owner as the leader anymore, and there will be problems with the dog's behavior. As the saying goes, treat your dog like a human, and he'll treat you like a dog.
Does that mean that if dogs behave badly, it's the owner's fault?
Exactly.
I agree, although let me point out that there are dog owners and trainers who do not believe in the authoritarian way of training dogs. They prefer to ignore bad behavior and reward good behavior. This is another way of treating your dog like a human.
Mr. Bark, why do people treat their dogs more and more like humans?
Remember what Professor Cohen said about dog parents. You see, in the last 30 to 40 years, it has become quite common for both partners in a relationship to have a career. They work longer hours than ever before. Nowadays, people marry later and divorce more often. The number of pets started to boom around the same time that these trends began to take off. Now, more and more single people and childless couples want to have pets, and they often treat their pets like partners or children.
That's right. People have become very emotional about their pets. There are even new professions these days, such as grief counselors to help people when their pet dies. New business opportunities are everywhere. Just imagine, pet owners in the U.S. spend nearly $10 billion a year on veterinary services. I see that in my clinic every day. A lot of the dog owners who are not very well off would even pay for medical treatment for their pets before getting medical treatment themselves.
That is quite a disturbing development. And after a short break, it's time for our listeners to have their say. Call 702-595-73.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Americans have fallen in love with their dogs. We have dog walkers, dog groomers, dog parks, and dog-friendly hotels. We buy organic dog food and even dress up our dogs. In the U.S., the amount of money spent on pets has jumped from $17 billion to $43 billion over the last 15 years. The market is booming. Welcome to the Doggy Talk Show on IAAD Radio with your host, Madeline Shepherd. Are we treating our dogs the way we should? To discuss this question, I have in the studio with me today Richard Cohen, professor of psychology at the University of California and a best-selling author of a series of books on dog training. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I would also like to welcome Dr. Karen D. Walker, a veterinarian who runs her own pet clinic.
Nice to be here.
And a very warm welcome to Benjamin Bark, a freelance journalist who is researching why and how the role of dogs has changed.
Hello.
Mr. Bark, how did you become interested in this topic?
Well, a year ago, my wife and I got our dog Tucker from an animal shelter. We quickly found out that he always got very nervous whenever we left the house and would pee all over the place. Our vet explained that Tucker was suffering from something called separation anxiety. We were surprised to hear that dogs can actually have psychological problems, and we even ended up giving him a pill for that. My friends thought this was really ridiculous, and their reaction made me think about the way we treat our dogs.
As your example shows, the role of dogs in our society has obviously changed. This development is supported by a survey I did which shows that half of the American pet owners now consider themselves to be pet parents rather than pet owners. A lot of these dog owners celebrate their dog's birthday, and 35% even refer to their dogs as son or daughter.
A dog as son or daughter? That reminds me of a website I came across the other day which offers fancy dog dresses and, just imagine, even wedding dresses for dogs called the Blushing Bride or Flower Girl dress. They even have accessories like sunglasses. I can't believe it. People who buy things like that for their dogs surely don't treat them like dogs anymore.
You're right. Many people really overdo it. But for some dogs, outfits in winter and in rain are actually important. There are dogs that stay inside heated apartments all day, and when they're outside in such weather conditions, they can easily catch a cold. But I don't think it's so much the dressing up that is harmful for the dogs, it's the way the dogs are treated otherwise. If they are not allowed to play with other dogs, to sniff and explore, that is what is harmful for them.
I agree. And let me add another very important aspect here. One real problem for the dog can be having no real leader. You see, in a dog's pack, every dog has their place. And when a dog lives with humans, the humans must become the dog's leaders. The mistake is made when the humans only give the dog love. Love without rules and limits is not what makes a dog well-balanced and happy. If a dog thinks it must take over the role of pack leader, it will not accept the owner as the leader anymore, and there will be problems with the dog's behavior. As the saying goes, treat your dog like a human, and he'll treat you like a dog.
Does that mean that if dogs behave badly, it's the owner's fault?
Exactly.
I agree, although let me point out that there are dog owners and trainers who do not believe in the authoritarian way of training dogs. They prefer to ignore bad behavior and reward good behavior. This is another way of treating your dog like a human.
Mr. Bark, why do people treat their dogs more and more like humans?
Remember what Professor Cohen said about dog parents. You see, in the last 30 to 40 years, it has become quite common for both partners in a relationship to have a career. They work longer hours than ever before. Nowadays, people marry later and divorce more often. The number of pets started to boom around the same time that these trends began to take off. Now, more and more single people and childless couples want to have pets, and they often treat their pets like partners or children.
That's right. People have become very emotional about their pets. There are even new professions these days, such as grief counselors to help people when their pet dies. New business opportunities are everywhere. Just imagine, pet owners in the U.S. spend nearly $10 billion a year on veterinary services. I see that in my clinic every day. A lot of the dog owners who are not very well off would even pay for medical treatment for their pets before getting medical treatment themselves.
That is quite a disturbing development. And after a short break, it's time for our listeners to have their say. Call 702-595-73.
This is the end of Listening Part 4. Now you have time to copy all your answers onto the final answer sheet. Be careful, please. Don't make any mistakes when you copy your answers. Now hand in all the papers to the teacher, please. This is the end of your listening test.